Okay. Morning, everybody. Well, David's out today, as you can see. He's actually out hunting, so we're praying that he's got better weather than we've got. And for a good catch. So, we've been working our way through Ephesians here. So, and as we talked about, working our way through Ephesians, and the first three chapters that we talked about basically are the gifts that God has given us. First three chapters are the gifts that God has given us and the blessings that he's poured down upon us. And then the next three chapters are essentially our response to that, how we respond to what God has done for us, what he's done to us, what he's given to us. It's basically the truths and then the applications. This is the truth of what God's done. This is how we apply it and live it out, okay? So today, what we're going to do is get into this great cosmic battle that is taking place around us all of the time, whether we're aware of it or not. So this great cosmic battle that's taking place, and we get an intro, basically the armor of God scriptures, like we were doing with the kids today. So let's read this quick. It's Ephesians 6, and we're reading 10 through 13. So right before the ones we just read. So Ephesians 6, 10 through 13. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. So there's a few different responses that a lot of times you see to this scripture, and I'll kind of go over those quick. You see one response, which is the people who like are really into like the Lord of the Rings and fantasy novels and war movies like 300 and Saving Private Ryan, and they really love this scripture. They get into it. It's exciting. Like, whoo, there's a battle, man. We're in the middle of a battle. Woo! And they're usually the people that, I mean, they love the heroes and villains. But you notice, they usually want to be the hero in the story. It's fantasy. And then you have the other people on the other side of the spectrum that are terrified by this scripture. They don't like this scripture because it's like, this is scary. There's this battle going on. They've seen, like, Poltergeist or The Exorcist too many times, something like that. And this whole spiritual battle idea freaks them out. And then there's the really practical people who don't like fantasy books, don't like things like that, and who think that this scripture is way too fantasy-oriented, and it's not really practical or applicable to what we're going through today. So we're going to kind of take all those and throw all those to the side and get into what God's really saying in here. Because the fact is that the battle is real. There is a battle going on, and we are all a part of it, whether we realize it or not. And the outcome is already determined, and I'm sorry to say we are not the heroes of the story, if that's what you're going for. So my big idea today that we'll get into is to be strengthened in the Lord for the spiritual battle that you are now fighting so that you can stand firm in Christ's victory. So be strengthened in the Lord for the battle, so that you can stand firm in Christ's victory. Let's pray. Father, we just give this time over to you, Lord. I just pray that you would breathe life into this, Father. That it wouldn't just be tradition of coming here and listening, Lord. And it wouldn't just be knowledge for our head. But Lord, that you would speak to our hearts as well as our heads. That you would give us a fresh excitement and a passion and a love for you, Father, that spills out into our lives, Father. That we'd be able to take this scripture and be able to understand it, that we would hear your Spirit speaking to us and guiding us into how it can apply to our lives, Father, that we can walk out from here ready for the battle that we have ahead, not just to fight it, but to walk in your victory in it. Lord, give us that grace today and bless this time in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Okay, so first of all, we get into the calling, and the calling that he first outlines is to be strong in the Lord. Verse 10, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. So that's his first exhortation. And basically what he's talking about, as we talked about, this is the last three chapters are about our response to what God has done for us. And now what he's getting into is the power, the ability that he has given us to actually walk out and do that, to respond as he's called us to respond. And when he says, be strong in the Lord, literally translated, that means to be strengthened in the Lord, to be strengthened in the Lord. And if you think about it, be strengthened, it's a passive tense, i.e. we can't do it in and of ourselves. We cannot strengthen ourselves. It's not in our ability to do. If you look back quick at Ephesians 3:16, he says something similar in the prayer that we pray a lot of times at the close of service. According to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Holy Spirit in your inner being. Again, passive, to be strengthened with power through God's Spirit, through the working of God's Spirit in our lives, through the riches of God's glory. So our calling is to be strong in the Lord, not in our own ability or strength, to be strong in the Lord. You see, I know a lot of you guys, there's a lot of exercising people here. A lot of guys who work out way more than I am and are way buffer than I am. Hey, but in this battle, it doesn't even matter. You can be as buff as you want to in this life, but it's not going to help you in this battle that we're fighting, that we're going to describe today. You see, we cannot win this battle without God. We can't. This is a spiritual battle, and there's nothing physical about who we are or what we have that can do that. And honestly, we need to recognize, too, that the enemy is stronger than we are. Satan is stronger than we are. And we can't fight this battle in our own strength or we will lose. And we can't look for help in any other place, self-help or anything like that, except for in the means that God has given us to be strengthened, that he has laid out in his scripture, namely the armor of God that we'll get into. Okay? So then how do we be strengthened in the Lord? What does that mean? What does that look like? How do we be strengthened in the Lord? Well, he says in verse 11, he says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. Put on the whole armor of God. You see, we receive Christ's strength when we put on the armor of God, when we take that and put it on. Again, we can't strengthen ourselves. But that doesn't relieve us of all responsibility. We still have a responsibility to take and put on the armor of God, to receive what Christ has given us, what he has done for us. So we have an active part on it. And you notice in here he says, put on the whole armor of God. Why the whole armor of God? Because in a battle, soldiers are trained to find the weak spots in the enemy's armor. They are. They know their enemy well. They've studied him out. They talked to the guys who fought him before. And okay, what's the weak spots in the guy's armor? If you see Lord of the Rings, you know they do that sometimes in there. Like, aim for the necks, aim for the necks. So that's why he's calling us to put on the whole armor of God, because we need all of it. If we just have the breastplate of righteousness, man, our head's exposed. A bunch of other things are exposed. That we're going to have weak spots in us. And the enemy will exploit those. Satan knows us, and he knows us well, and he will find those weak spots. And that's why we're called to put on the whole armor of God. So I'm not going to dive into it and steal David's thunder, but we're going to dive into the armor of God in the next few weeks. And I encourage you guys, check it out and study in advance. Man, I know it's crazy. Study in advance. Study even afterwards. When he's preaching, dive into the scriptures yourself. Read commentaries. Study it out. And see what God's speaking, what this armor looks like, what is out there. So we can understand it and apply it and receive it for ourselves and be strengthened in the Lord. In short, it's all spiritually appropriated. It all comes through our relationship with Christ and our relationship with the church. Okay? So why do we need the armor of God? Why do we need to be strengthened in the Lord? Why do we need to put on the armor of God? Because we are in a spiritual battle. That's the reason we are in a spiritual battle. And that's where we're going to spend most of the time today, describing this battle that we are fighting, which calls us for why we need to be strengthened and wear the armor. If you look at verse 12 with me, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. You see, the reality is, whether you realize it or not, we're all right now in the middle of a battle. Every minute of every day, we're in the middle of a battle, in the middle of this great cosmic battle, the spiritual fight. Like David describes, we're not on a cruise ship where we're getting catered to. We're on a battleship where we have marching orders, we have duties, we have responsibilities, and we have to be watchful. We need to keep our eyes open. I saw another one. He uses that one a lot. I saw another one that said, we're not on a battle, or we're not on a playground, we're on a battleground. I thought that was kind of cool too. Maybe you guys don't like playgrounds, but kids do. And playgrounds are kind of cool. But we're not on a playground in this life. This life is not for our entertainment, for our joy, for our fun. We're in a battleground. And if you look at this, it says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against rulers and authority. And he's talking about wrestling in there. And do we have many wrestlers here, that guys that grew up wrestling, ladies that grew up wrestling? Man, you guys, not many wrestlers here. Nerds. But if you guys have ever wrestled or you've watched it, you know wrestling is like an up-close, intimate battle. I mean, it's intense. It's strength on strength. I mean, it's just going up close and personal and in your face. And when Paul was writing this, he was talking about like the Roman Olympics when they did these wrestling competitions and wrestling matches. It's an up close, in your face battle. And that's how he's describing the spiritual battle that we're fighting. It's not this ethereal battle that's happening all around us necessarily. It's happening up close and impersonal to us, around us. You see, we're fighting this spiritual battle, this wrestling match, to live the life that God calls us to respond the way that we've been talking about, to God's grace and God's mercy and God's love, to give our lives wholly to him. We're going to be fighting that battle to do that every day of our life for the rest of our life, okay? I know, it's a downer, but it gets better, don't worry. But the reality is we're going to be fighting this battle every day for the rest of our life. So in verse 12, Paul starts talking about the enemy that we'll be fighting. You see, we can never fight a battle effectively if we don't know our enemy. We have to know our enemy, understand him, have him figured out, and that will help us in the battle that we're going to fight, okay? What his strategies are. And in this battle, we're not fighting an unseen enemy. Or we're not fighting a physical foe. We're fighting an unseen enemy. He talks about in the heavenly realms, not flesh and blood, not people, but ethereal, spiritual beings, spirits, he talks about in there. And that takes a minute to stop and pause for a minute and to understand our battles that we fight are never with people themselves. They're not with political parties, nor with human institutions, okay? We're not fighting people. We're not fighting institutions. What we're fighting is the power that's at work in these people. If you jump back with me, Ephesians 2:2. Well, we'll look at 1, 2. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience. You see, we're not fighting people. We're fighting spirits that are influencing, that are pointing people, that are drawing people away. We're fighting those things and not people. And that's why we need things like prayer. Because prayer is a spiritual weapon to fight a spiritual battle. I mean, if we don't believe what somebody else believes, we can punch them in the face, but that's probably not going to change their mind. So it'll probably just reinforce what they were thinking. It's not a physical battle that we can fight. It's a spiritual battle. And prayer is a powerful weapon in that. So we're talking about, because it's relevant, we have this upcoming election. And it's one of the most polarizing elections that I can ever remember. I'm not that old. But it's a polarizing election. You got people very adamant on either side of a lot of issues. And my challenge in it is not to hate or bash on any political candidate, because, again, they're people. They are not the enemy. What we need to do is pray for them. Pray for them. Pray against the spirits that are behind these political agendas that are contrary to the Word of God. Pray against the spirits that are at work and people that are turning, that are following, that are running away from God and encouraging others to do the same. We need to pray against abortion, pray for the sanctity of marriage. Things like that, any idea or agenda that is contrary to the word of God, man, take it to prayer. Yes, we need to vote. We need to be active. We need to have a voice. But again, our fight is not to go up and is not a physical fight with people or agendas or parties. It's a spiritual battle, and prayer is a powerful weapon in that. And that's why we talk about this prayer night that we're going to do a week from tomorrow. Man, that's our weapon. That's our powerful weapon. It's not a fallback weapon. It's not a, oh, well, I guess this is all we can do. Man, this is what we can do. This is powerful. Prayer is powerful. God, if you read in Scripture, multiple times, God has changed the course of nations through the power of prayer. So I encourage you again, come and be a part of that. And in the same way, switching gears too, a lot of us are married, a lot of us have kids in here. Remember again, your fight is not against your marriage partner, and it's not with your kids. They are not the enemy. Your kids are not the enemy. Your spouse is not the enemy. Satan is the enemy. Man, team up with them. Come alongside them and fight against Satan together. So who is our enemy? Who is our enemy? I know we've talked about it a bit, but as David outlined last week, Satan ultimately is our enemy. And the Bible talks about rulers and authorities. And Jesus calls Satan the prince of this world, the ruler, the authority in this world. And Satan is not alone. I mean, you read in here, he talks about spiritual forces. You see, Satan has an army of evil spirits in ranks and in order that we are fighting against too. And a few scriptures we'll jump into quick to show his strategy. If you got it, turn to John 10:10. John 10:10. This is Jesus talking. He says, the thief, that's Satan, comes only to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I have come that they might have life and have it abundantly. So you see, that's ultimately Satan's battle strategy. Steal, kill, and destroy. Steal, kill, and destroy. That's what he's out there to do. Another one, a little bit more powerful and vivid, 1 Peter 5, if you can jump with me to that one. 1 Peter 5, 8 through 11. Towards the end of your Bible, 1 Peter 5, 8 through 11. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. So our adversary is prowling around like a roaring lion, watching over us. I remember hearing a story from guys in Idaho that I knew when they were out hunting. They were out elk hunting or deer hunting. I can't remember which. And they were out hunting, and they left their camp and were walking around and everything. And then they backtracked to head back to their camp. And as they did, they were looking on the ground as they walked. And on the ground and all around them was mountain lion footprints behind them. And they realized, kind of falling around these mountain lion footprints, that this mountain lion had been stalking them. The cougar had been stalking their party, just watching over them. They could see him following them, going around in different spots, watching every move they were at, staying right near their camp where they were at too, waiting. The mountain lion was watching and waiting for an opportunity to attack. And in the same way, that's what Satan is doing. Satan is watching. He's prowling around, looking for someone to destroy, seeking our spiritual demise, our spiritual death. That's what he's about. I mean, notice in here he says, and after you have suffered for a little while, woohoo, we get to suffer, guys. Celebrate. After you have suffered a little while. Well, you notice in Scripture, if you've read it a lot, time is always very relative in Scripture. Where he talks about you've suffered a little while, That's life. That's our life. But notice, why does he say in a little while then? Because we have life and we have eternity. We will suffer a little while in this life. We will be in a battle in this life. I'm sorry to say it, it's true. But we will be in a battle this life. We will suffer in this life. But man, if we stand firm, as we'll get into, then we have eternity awaiting for us. And this time that we spent battling will really seem like a little while, if even that. It'll seem like a blink. Okay? So talking quick about Satan's strategies, what he's about, what he's trying to do. One of his strategies that we talked about a little bit and what Paul is addressing in his scripture is Satan just makes people think he doesn't exist, that he's not real, that there is no battle that's out there. Man, what a powerful one. If we don't realize we're in a battle, who sits around lazy and doesn't do anything is they don't realize that there's a battle to fight. I mean, kingdoms, constant stories of kingdoms overthrown or battles won because the enemy wasn't prepared. They didn't realize we were at war. Pearl Harbor is a good instance, I guess. We didn't realize we were at war, and all of a sudden, boom, the Japanese come in and strike because we were unprepared. We didn't realize there was a battle. They were jumping on and starting it. A great strategy of Satan is that we don't even realize, we don't believe that this battle is real, that it's out there, that it's happening. So our guard is down and we're easy prey. We're easy prey. Another strategy that I know for me I see a lot in life is if we don't recognize that battle too, we live in this thing called apathy, which is one of the most dangerous places to be as a Christian. Because I think often one of Satan's greatest victories in the life of a Christian, he might not be able to get us to renounce the name of Christ, but if he can get us to the sideline, man, what a victory for him. If he can pull us off to the sideline and, hey, Christianity's cool, go to church on Sundays, that's great. I mean, hear the message, and then you've done your duty. Good job. Go home, do whatever you want to do. Have fun. You don't need to do anything other than that. If Satan can convince us in that and then just that Christianity doesn't really matter, that it's not that important, it's a tradition, it's a work. If Satan can convince us of that, he's won. He gets us out of the action, uninvolved. You notice in a football game, we were watching some of those yesterday, the guys on the sideline, honestly, they're not doing a lot to help. It's the guys on the field that are winning or losing the game, except for the coaches. Okay, I'll give that. But the players on the sideline, they're not doing anything to help. And man, are we Christians? Are we on the field, in the play field, playing and fighting? Or are we sitting on the sidelines? That's uninvolved spiritually. There's no fruit out of our lives. We're not focused on living the mission that God's called us to. I pray that's not us, because I know that's me a lot of times. Thinking about this in the spiritual attack, it reminded me when Tracy and I were relatively early on in our marriage. Maybe some of you guys can relate to this. But we found ourselves fighting every Sunday before church. I don't know what, every Sunday morning before church, we'd get in a fight about something goofy, silly, strange, who knows, whatever it was. Every Sunday before church. So every Sunday we'd go to church angry, bitter, upset. And now it's not a great way to go to church. And it took a while of that before we recognized in there that this was an attack of the enemy. Right at a critical time before we were going to worship, this was an attack of the enemy that was fighting against our marriage and fighting against our ability to go and enjoy the Spirit of God and to worship in sincerity and truth. And when we realized that, we were able to stop fighting each other, and we took Sunday morning, we stopped, and we would pray together and pray and fight against Satan together as a married couple. And man, that changed everything. I mean, Sunday mornings weren't like that. We were able to just go and enjoy, and then we had kids. But that's another story. So, we recognize that we fight this battle together. We're not the enemy. We're fighting the enemy. Let's join forces and fight him together. And in that, too, one very, very important thing to remember is that Satan can never make us sin, okay? Satan can never make us sin. We are never helpless victims of his attack. Satan can never force us to do anything. He does not have that power. He can attack us through deception, lies, temptation, trickery, seduce us. But it is always our choice in how to respond. The Bible says that no temptation has overcome us, except that God has made us a way out of it. You see, we always have a way out. We always have a defense. We can always fight against it, and we can always win. It's always our choice in how to respond. So even though Tracy and I were fighting and there was an attack of the enemy, an important part of it for us was to sit together and to repent of our own sins, to ask God's forgiveness and grace, and commit to change. We still have accountability for our own sins in all of this. And we need to own up to that, own up to our sins, repent of them, ask God's forgiveness. And then when we do that, receive God's strength, receive God's armor, and get out there and fight again. Okay? So, as we do that, as we strengthen ourselves in the Lord, as we put on God's armor, and as we recognize the battle that we're in and the enemy that we're fighting, the result is that we will stand firm in Christ's victory. Okay? That's the result of it. In verse 13, therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. As Kathy was talking about the kids, you notice a recurring word in there, stand, stand, stand. And when he talks about this, the evil day, to withstand in the evil day, I'm sorry, I wish it was just one day, but he's talking about the evil age, this age that we're in, where Satan is the prince of this world. And he talks about standing firm. If you jump back and just look at Ephesians 4:14 quick. Ephesians 4:14, so that we, Christians, may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. See, he's talking about standing firm, being planted in the Word of God and in truth and in the armor and strength of God, not blown around by temptation, not just, oh, I'm following God. Ooh, this looks pretty. I want to go after this. We know, like, our kids just kind of, like, go all over the place looking at cool things to destroy. And we need to keep our eyes on God, planted firm, set firm, not carried around by temptation, by attacks, by things like that. He's talking about standing firm. And jump with me to Colossians now, just a few books ahead. Colossians 2:13 through 15. Colossians 2:13 through 15. And you, who were dead in your trespasses and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in the cross. Again, rulers and authorities, put them to open shame, triumphing over them in the cross. You see, we need to recognize our enemy and respect his power. For sure, we need to do that. But we also know that in Christ, we have the victory now. That victory has been secured. If you looked at that, by triumphing over them in the cross, that's past tense. That's what he has done. He has secured the victory in this battle. You see, no matter the fantasy people that want to believe it, we are not the hero of the story again. Christ is. He has secured the battle. The fight that we could never win, he went out there and he already won for us. We have that victory now. Again, in 1 Peter, he said, God will, after you have suffered for a while, he will establish and restore you. He will do that. There's no doubt about it. Again, 1 John 4:1-4. Jump with me towards the end of the Bible, right before Revelation. 1 John 4:1-4. Beloved, do not believe every evil spirit, or do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, whom you have heard was coming and is now in the world already, the battle that we're fighting. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them. For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Noticing that you guys are from God, believers, we are born and bred of God. We are God's children, and we have overcome them. By Christ's victory, we have overcome them. Greater is he that is in us than is in the world. Not greater are we than what's in the world, but greater is he that is in us as we walk with Christ. You see, God has not called us to win the battle. He's not called us to go out there and win the battle. What he's called us to do is to stand in the victory that he has already given us. Stand in the victory that he's given us. One more verse here. James 4:7. Well, I'll just read James 4:7. It says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Again, all we do is we stand and we resist. We stand and fight. And then the devil will flee because he knows he's defeated, because Christ has given us this victory. And this isn't a one-time action, but this is a continuous action over and over again of putting on the armor of God and standing firm, keeping that armor secured, strapping it on again, making sure it's straight, in order, everything's protected, making sure that we have on the armor of God and are strong. You see, enemies that know that they are defeated are dangerous. In all history, you see, when an enemy knows that they're defeated, they become very, very dangerous because they become desperate. And that's where we're at right now. Until Christ comes and completely destroys evil, the enemy is desperate. And you see all the times in movies when you're watching, like the hero knocks down the bad guy and the bad guy's down. And what does the hero do? He kills him, finishes him off. No, he walks off. Hey, guys, we won. Woo-hoo! In the meantime, the bad guy comes up and he attacks him again. We need to recognize the enemy is down. He is defeated. But we need to be on our guard still, because this battle is still happening. Satan is always prowling, looking for someone to devour. This entire evil age, again, this entire evil age, until Christ returns and the enemy is completely destroyed forever, that's how long we need to be ready and in this battle. And if you notice, there's a lot happening in the world right now. A lot happening. More than I've ever seen in my lifetime. A lot happening in the world right now, which means that there's a lot happening in the spirit right now. A lot happening in the world spiritually right now that's manifesting itself and coming out in all the crazy situations that we're at right now. There's a battle going on. There's a fight going on, and we're in the thick of it. And it just makes me just want to cry out, come, Lord Jesus, come. I don't know about you guys, but in the midst of this, come, Lord Jesus, come. Come and destroy the enemy, destroy darkness, and establish your kingdom. But until we die, or that day comes when Christ returns, God has given us our orders to strengthen ourselves in the Lord, to put on the armor of God, and to stand firm, not giving an inch of ground to Satan through apathy or through sin. Not giving an inch of ground. Stand firm. Not giving in to sin, not giving in to apathy, but fighting. One more scripture I want to give you as we close up here. This is in John 16:33. This is Jesus talking to his disciples. I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Notice, in the world you will have tribulation. He doesn't promise us a cruise ship or a playground. He promises us a battleground. Tribulation, trials, challenges. You will have it. But then he says, but take heart. I have overcome the world. Every day we need to wake up and we need to strengthen ourselves in the Lord. Put on the armor of God. Man, spend that time in prayer, fighting that spiritual battle. First thing, spend time in your word, putting on the armor of God, and get up and go out ready for the fight that's out there for us. You see, if we think and act like a spectator, we will lose. We are a participant in this battle. And if we don't recognize that, we'll become a casualty. But man, we are in this battle, so we need to be ready. We need to be armored up. We need to know who our enemy is and how he works. We need to respect our enemy, because if we don't and try to do it in our own strength, we will fail. We will be unprepared and we'll be soundly defeated. We'll give in to sin. We'll give in into temptation. We'll be blown around by every wind of doctrine like it talks about. But if we strengthen ourselves in the Lord and put on his armor that he has provided for us to use, then we can have share in the ultimate victory that Christ has already won for us on the cross. We can be a part of that victory, and we can be a part of the victory feast that they talk about in Revelation, the celebration that happens when Christ's kingdom is established. And communion's awesome, because you know what communion is? It's a celebration of that victory that Christ has already won. But not just a celebration, it's a reminder of what that victory cost. It's a reminder that Christ is the hero, not us. You see, in communion, we remember that Christ suffered and died as God's punishment for our sins, for what we had done. And he rose again in power and victory over Satan and death to secure that victory for us. So as we get ready to partake of communion, again, the elements, if you didn't get these, they're in the back foyer. You can grab them. As we get ready to partake of this, I want you to take a minute and reflect before you do on how you're doing in this battle. How are you faring in this battle? Are you walking in God's strength? Are you wearing God's armor? And are you sharing in his victory over Satan? Are you walking in that victory? Are you experiencing victory in your life? Or do you find yourself giving ground to Satan through sin in your life, unrepentant sin in your life, and or apathy towards Christ and his mission and what he's done for you? Are you sitting on the sidelines? Has Satan pushed you to the sidelines or pushed you to the side with sin? Or are you walking and fighting and winning because of what he has done and the victory he's secured for you? So think about that for a minute. And I challenge you too to ask God to strengthen you afresh, to set your heart to seek him and to seek the armor, to seek his strength so that you can have victory over temptation, have victory over apathy, and walk in that life that he's given us. Again, we've got the prayer team up here. Man, a great power. Again, one of the strongest weapons we have is prayer. It's a spiritual battle. So if you're fighting some battle that, man, you just need help on, call for reinforcements. I mean, that's why we have the church here, to help each other and encourage each other. So I encourage you, if you're fighting a battle where you're feeling hopeless, man, get the prayer teams involved. Get your life group involved. Get your pastor involved. Get others involved praying for you and helping you to overcome. Because it's a spiritual battle, and God has given us an army too. We're not alone in it. So again, before we partake of communion, let's take a few minutes and reflect on where we're at in this battle, what we're doing, and ask God to strengthen us afresh. Indeed, open up our eyes and wonder. We'll pray in Ephesians 3:14. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you may, being rooted and grounded in love, may have the strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. Lord, just help us this week as we go out there and fight this battle, Lord. Lord, that we would fight it in your strength, Lord, and with your power. Lord, that you would open up our eyes and wonder afresh, Lord, to see the beauty and glory of who you are and what you've done. And Lord, that we would take on your strength, Lord, and with renewed passion and faith, that we would fight this battle that you've given us, Lord, and that we would come out of it victorious, Lord, because you have won that battle for us. I pray for me and for everybody here, Lord, that we would fight those battles this week against sin and temptation, against apathy and indifference, Lord, and that we would thrive, Lord, as we walk and fight it with you and walk in your victory, Lord. Thank you for that in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Thank you, guys. God bless you. Have a great week.